Amen. And so I'm preaching tonight what I'm, it's not truth because I'm preaching it, but I'm preaching it because it's truth. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a religious man, saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. Most of us in this room have a testimony of new birth. Amen. And we're thankful for that. It's not a prideful thing. It's not an arrogant thing. It's not that we've arrived. It's that God's been good to us. Amen. And we recognized and realized the necessity of Bible salvation, being saved according to the word of the Lord. Not according to tradition, not according to religion, not according to popular opinion, not according to personal preference, amen, but according to the word of the Lord. Jesus said, don't be surprised that I'm telling you, you must be born again. Amen. I'm the Messiah. I'm God in flesh. I'm the arm of the Lord that's been revealed. I'm Jehovah's Savior. This is who I am, and this is what I do. I tell people the truth. Man, you must be born again. Acts 4, verse 12, one verse here. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Peter declared not too long after the day of Pentecost that there is a name that's above every name. The name of Jesus has the power. And there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's a lot of good people in the world, but their names will not save your soul. There might be names that can save you from bankruptcy. There might be names that can save you from a bad reputation. There might be names, you know, sometimes where they say it's not what you know, it's who you know. Amen. The name of the judge might get you off that ticket. Oh, yeah. And so there's a lot of names that have power, but no name has the power that the name of Jesus has. Because it's through the name of Jesus that salvation comes. Amen. Amen. We must. Somebody say must. We must be saved. Amen. I've got an old message to preach tonight. Amen. I've not come to entertain you, but I have come to obey the Holy Ghost. There is no better opportunity for anybody anywhere than a chance to be saved. Amen. Would you lift up your voice and let's praise Him together. Let's love Him. Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, you are high and lifted up. You have all power. I glorify your holy and worthy and righteous, wonderful name. I love you, Jesus. Glory to God. God, open a great door and effectual. Let the spirit of truth prevail in this place this evening. Give me the grace that I need to communicate your will to your creation tonight. We praise you for what you're doing in this city, what you're doing in our hearts and lives, the opportunity that you have afforded to us to experience your presence. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Lord bless you. Thank you so much. Now, people that live based on feelings live awful disappointed lives. Because feelings come and go. Feelings change. Circumstances affect and sometimes even determine feelings. Amen. There are many emotions that all of us from time to time have felt. And we have ways that we would rather feel. But most of the time, good feelings are dependent on good circumstances. But truth doesn't change. I need to feel about truth regardless of circumstances. I've got a good feeling about the Word of God even when the world is turned upside down. Because it's still good. And it's still right. Amen. And it has changed my life and brought deliverance to my soul. I cannot emphasize enough tonight the power of the will of humanity. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Part of being in the image and likeness of Almighty God is that humanity has a choice. The will of man. There is nothing that I'm aware of that is any more powerful, inasmuch that it can actually override what God desires to do. Amen. By its own self, it's not, but how it's exercised goes a long way into determining someone's very salvation. Nothing is more powerful than God and His Word. I understand all that, but the way that God is able to manifest His power in my life is really up to me. Amen. I often go here in revival services. It's something that we need to understand and be reminded of. If it was up to God, everybody would be saved. If it was up to God, everybody would be healed. If it was up to God, there would be no hospital. There would be no psychiatric ward. Amen. There would be no need for insurance if it was up to God. If it was up to the devil, everybody would be lost. Everybody would be sick. Everybody's life would be filled with problems and full of trouble. But I've come to declare tonight and help you understand it's not up to God. And it's not up to the devil. It's up to you. And it's up to me. Amen. It's up to me to allow God to be good in my life. It's up to me to say yes to God and no to the devil. It's up to me to submit myself therefore unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from me. I determine and I decide the power of God that works and manifests itself in my life. Amen. This kind of preaching may make you a little bit uncomfortable, but I'm preaching truth to you. Amen. The will of man is a powerful element. it will allow God entrance or hold God away. It will allow hell to run rampant or drive the powers of darkness out. Amen. It's what you submit to. It's what you surrender to. Amen. Amen. It is not up to God. Amen. And it's not up to the devil. As far as my life is concerned, it's up to me. Amen. The word of God declares, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Amen. Everybody has a master. Everybody has a God. Jesus declared in the Gospels, no man can serve two masters. But the interpretation of Scripture is no man can serve two, but every man will serve one. For either he will hold to the one and despise the other, amen, or else he will hold to the one or love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, the flesh, but you will serve God or the flesh. You can't serve two, but you will serve one. I don't want to be overly presumptuous and bold tonight, but bold enough to help you understand and look inside of your very heart. Amen. If I am going to serve God or myself, if I'm not serving God, then who must I be serving? I feel the liberty of the Holy Ghost. Can I make myself at home right now? If I'm not living my life based on this book, then what am I living my life based on? If I'm not living my life based on the will of God, then whose will am I living my life based on? I think we all know the answer. And the word of God declares there is a glorious eternity for those who live their life according to God's will. Amen. I wish it was different, but it's not. But if I don't live my life based on the will of God, my eternity, it's not glorious. It's damnable. It's horrible. There is a place called heaven for those that live for God. And there is a place called hell, amen, who follow their own desire and live according to their own opinion and refuse to submit and obey the word of the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. So how you feel about being saved goes a long way in determining the extent of your salvation. Years ago, I had a man of God in my life, my pastor at the time, as I was growing up in church. And I don't remember a lot of the details of his ministry. I caught a lot of principle, but I don't remember a lot of quotation, if you get the point. That's the case for most of us, isn't it? Some of you probably couldn't tell me what I preached this morning. And I'll be honest with you as I bring it up right now. I'm drawing a blank. Because I'm not in this morning. I'm in the here and now. My mind and my soul is consumed with what's before me right now. But I hope to God you got the principle of it. I don't remember the words, but I got the message. I do remember a declaration that he made one evening, and he said, I've got good news for you. If you want to go to heaven, you will. And most of us already know the rest of the story. It's because if you really want to, you'll do what it takes to get there. It doesn't matter what it takes. I'm going to do whatever it takes because I will be saved. And so how you feel about being saved has a tremendous determining effect upon your very salvation. Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Salvation and the new birth is not optional, it's a necessity. As a matter of fact, that word must in the Greek language literally means it's necessary. It's necessary that you be born again. Peter declared it's necessary that you're saved, whereby we must be saved. Something has got to happen that brings change. I can't just live any old way I want to live. Amen. This book says straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. This book says from the words of the mouth of Jesus Christ the Messiah, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door of the sheepfold. If you're going to come to the Father, you got to come through me. There is a plan of salvation. God is not the author of confusion. All roads might lead to Rome, honey, but all roads don't lead to heaven. I'm not going to go to heaven my way and you go to heaven your way. If we make it to heaven, we're going to go to heaven God's way, because there is no other way. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody lift up your voice and magnify the name of Jesus right now. Hallelujah. I want us to notice the language that the prophet Isaiah uses. Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 1, he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. How many? Who are we talking about? Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. The water won't come to you. You come to the water. What's the old saying? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Yeah, man, judge me, criticize me, do whatever you do with me, but we've been on some long trips recently, and Brother Louis L'Amour sure helps the miles go by a little quicker. Amen. For a good ending. Amen. In most Louis L'Amour books I've read or listened to, the good guy always wins. And he always gets the girl. There are a few exceptions. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe he had a bad day or so, he lets that darling die. I just don't get that. I mean, how could he let something that like that happen? Oh, but I'm telling you, there's no better ending than heaven. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. But if I understand the ways of the West, you don't have to lead a thirsty horse to water. He'll lead you. If it's thirsty, you got to hold it back. You got to dig your spurs in. Amen. You got to tie him down, because that horse says, I've got a thirst and yonder's water. And ready or not, here I come. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. My God. It gets better than he that hath no money. Come ye, buy, and eat.
doesn't make sense. How can I buy if I have no money? How can I go through with a transaction if I have no currency? Oh no, he didn't say you didn't have currency. He says you've got no money. But it doesn't mean you have no currency. He says, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Buy without money. He said, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? This is where the currency of the supernatural and spiritual kicks in. Hearken, the Lord says, diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. You may not have two nickels to rub together, but you've got obedience to give. You've got a will you can submit. You've got an ear that you can hear. You've got a choice that you can make. It's not about your talent, it's or your ability, it's your willingness. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus declared in John 4 about the natural water, whosoever drinketh of the water that I give. He said, you drink this Jacob's well water, you'll get thirsty again. There's something I can guarantee you about natural water. If you're really thirsty, it'll taste really good. But no matter how much you drink, you're going to get thirsty again. You can count on it. No matter how deep the well, how sweet the water, how cool, how pleasant. Jesus said, you drink the water of this well, you're going to get thirsty again. He said, but if you drink the water that I give, he will never thirst. For the water that I give shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen. The physical is not the issue here. What Jesus is saying is, honey, I know that you're really concerned about the things in this world. You're really concerned about relationships. You're really concerned about reputation. You're really concerned about lifestyle. But I've got something called everlasting life. Amen. That is far more important than relationship and reputation and lifestyle. Amen. Far more important than what somebody might think about you is what God knows about you. Amen. John chapter 7, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come. Are you getting the picture tonight? Amen. The water doesn't come to you, but you come to the water. Buy without money and without price. Engage in the transaction. Put forth the effort. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. The next verse declares, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. That tells me if you call yourself a believer and haven't received the Holy Ghost, you're selling your faith short. those that believe should receive the Spirit. Am I reading that right? This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Ghost couldn't come down, because Jesus had yet to go up. But Jesus said, hang on, boys. I know I'm about to leave, but I'm going to come back. Amen. The Comforter's going to come. Right now, the Comforter's with you, but he shall be in you. Am I taking too much time tonight? Revelation 21, he said unto me, it is done. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. The next chapter in your Bible, Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is the first come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life. All it will cost you is little effort and a lot of obedience. I wish what I'm about to say is not the case, but we know it is. That's too much for some people to pay. Mm-mm. Not going to give my time. Not going to give my emotions. Those are mine. Yeah, I know it. And it's up to you what you do with them. And so salvation comes when you surrender your emotion and your passion and your expression. That's when salvation happens, is when you surrender your will to the will of God. Accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior is not submitting your will. Repeating a sinner's prayer is not submitting your will. But let's talk about repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Let's talk about that well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Let's talk about the change that salvation brings to whosoever will. Amen. Isaiah again says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It was from this prophecy that Jesus read from in the synagogue that day in the Gospels. It was Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. It's not what you have to offer, it's whether or not you offer it.
same spirit of truth was on the Apostle Paul. As he penned these words of the church at Corinth, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I wouldn't embarrass anybody for anything, but many of us have been there and done that. We have scars to prove it. We have memories that haunt us. We're not proud of our past, but we're glad it's in the past. We're thankful that our future looks different than the past. Tomorrow looks much better than yesterday. If any man, if the young man, the old man, the rich man, the poor man, the tall man, the short man, the educated man, the ignorant man, the willing man, the stubborn, if any man, the religious man, the vagabond man, the Christian man, the devil worshiping man, if any man, the alcoholic man, the lawyer man, the banker man, the child molester man, the prostitute man, if any man, the drug addict man, if any man. You see, we want to put qualifiers on things. But the Bible simply declares sin is a transgression of the law. It, man, it's not big sin, little sin, it's sin. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He wrote earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, know you not, can I preach some doctrine to you right now? Know you not that the unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And then he begins to list sin, unrighteousness. This is not politically correct. I'm not reading from the Constitution tonight. I'm not reading from the news headlines tonight. I'm not reading from the movie reel tonight. But Paul said, if you're unrighteous, you can't be saved. You've got to stop being unrighteous. He said, don't you know that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom? Now, folks, we got problems because modern religion says it don't matter how you live. I'm in the Holy Ghost for somebody right now. I said modern religion says it don't matter how you live because it's grace. No, grace says it matters how you live. Because the Bible says that the salvation that God has to offer has appeared, or the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. We're talking about grace. Grace brings salvation. That's why Paul declared we're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by just grace, but through faith we're saved by grace. And grace that brings salvation, that grace that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Grace is not saying it's okay to sin. Grace is not God looking the other way. Grace is far more than God's unmerited favor. Grace is God stepping in and saying, this is what my word declares, and it's impossible for you to do it without some help. But here's some grace. Here's some help. Here's the strength you're missing. Here's the revelation you're missing. Here's the conviction you're missing. Here's what you lack.
peace that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom. And grace teaches that we should live righteous. Grace that brings salvation says live righteous. Because unrighteousness cannot inherit. The old songwriter wrote, sin shall never enter in. Be not deceived. Let's talk about unrighteousness. Neither fornicators. Now, I know that's a long word. And you may think you might know what it means. It's really not that complicated. Amen. It's acting married with somebody you're not married to. It's the pleasure of relationship without the commitment. And the Bible says that's unrighteous. This is plain, but shacking up is still sin. Having sexual relations even outside the covenant of marriage is still sin. It's unrighteous. Fornication is unrighteousness. Amen. Nor idolaters. There's something in your life more important than God. Nor adulterers. That's having sexual relations with somebody else's husband or wife. Nor effeminate. That's homosexuality. I love the fornicator, but I hate fornication. I love the adulterer, but I hate adultery. How is that? Because God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. I'm telling you, the ultimate tough love is God saying, I love you, but if you want to spend eternity with me, you're going to have to live for me in this world. You're going to have to turn your back on sin. You're going to have to repent and believe the gospel. Abusers of themselves with mankind. Thieves. Let me help you young men out. Amen. Do y'all boys know what effeminate means? That means sissy. And so, we need to be careful how we pattern our lives. Paul said there's all kind of voices in the world. There's all kind of influences. Amen. I think we're wise to not just jump on every bandwagon that comes down the road. And just because so-and-so is doing it doesn't mean I'm going to just jump right in and start doing it myself. Amen. I just want to remind you, some teenage boys, that before Lot ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah, he pointed his life in that direction. He pitched his tent in that direction. I'd get real nervous what I saw when I looked in the mirror. Looked a whole lot like what I saw the movie stars. And the R&B. And the rock and roll. I'd get real nervous if I had the same clothing and hairstyle. Amen. As public homosexuals. I'd get real nervous about that. Amen. Because that's a trend in the wrong direction. This is not popular preaching. but it's truth. I'm not trying to show out or be out of the way right now. I'm just trying to help somebody be saved. I said I'm trying to help somebody be saved. When I was your age, the style was to drag out your tracks with your hymn. Pull them down, and I mean your pockets or your britches are down around your knees. Buying pants 2 or 3 sizes too big because that was cool. Now you're buying them 2 or 3 sizes too small. And you're walking around like Pee Wee Herman showing off your happy socks. We can laugh about that, but fellas, let's just be real and honest. Oh, back when I was in high school, the cool thing was to be like the Boz. That was number 44 in the OU Sooners in the mid-80s. Because he was all that in a bag of chips. That's another old statement. But man, he had his sideburns clipped off right there, and he had lines in the side of his head. Had his hair bleached. Amen. Had a mullet going on back here. Woo! But because he could run fast and tackle hard, that was cool. I wish I had a different testimony, but my senior pictures, there's no sideburns. Now, I had no hair dye and I had no razor lines with different colors and numbers. I didn't have all that, but you know as well as I do, it was a trend. And I said it was because it's cooler to have no sideburns. And I meant the temperature, but yeah, right. You'll believe what you want to believe. It was my stubborn will saying, I want to fit in. I want to look cool. I want to feel accepted. There's so many other things that as a Pentecostal I can't do. Come on, but a good praying through. Amen. Another trip to the altar. It's not just abusers of themselves with mankind. Amen. But this book says effeminacy, sissiness, is uncleanness, it's unrighteous. So get the limp out of your wrist. Get the lisp out of your speech. Get some dirt under your fingernails. Get some grit in your crawl. Get a little gravel in your voice. Hallelujah. Get off the couch, potato. And be a man. No thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because that's unrighteousness. But he said, let me say what I need to say. And such were some of you. That's the life you used to live. Those are the feelings you used to have. That's the trends you used to follow. That's the lifestyle you used to have. But thanks be unto God, it's what you were, not who you are, because you're washed. You're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of God. What took the press out of me? What took the pride out of me? What took deception out of me? It was the name and the Spirit. I said the name and the Spirit makes the difference. I said this is not temporary improvement. momentary satisfaction, a fleeting good feeling. No, I've been changed. I'm a new creature. I'm not what I used to be because of the name and the Spirit. Hey man, I don't do what I used to do because of the name and the Spirit. I used to be prejudiced, but now I'm not because of the name and the Spirit. I used to be envious, but I'm not envious anymore because of the name and the Spirit. I used to sneak around and look at dirty magazines, but I don't do that no more because of the name and the Spirit. I used to have ungodly radio stations pre-programmed on my radio, but I don't do that no more because of the name and the Spirit. I used to laugh at the dirty jokes. I don't do that anymore because of the name and the Spirit. I'm washed. I'm sanctified. I'm justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit of our God. I'm sorry if the preachers are wrong tonight. I really am. But I've been changed by the gospel. Amen. I received the name in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And I received the glorious infilling of the Holy Ghost just like the Bible says. Paul told the church at Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Am I interpreting this correctly that I can't be saved then without the gospel? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul told the church at Corinth, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. I can't be saved outside of the gospel. I'm not trying to sneak up on your blind side. He said, I declare to you the gospel which I preached and you received, by which you're saved. That's the Bible telling you that you must have the gospel to be saved. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received. I gave you what was given me. I didn't come up with this, he said. I gave to you what was given to me. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. It's the gospel according to the Scriptures. Christ died, was buried, and rose again. Death, burial, resurrection. Now, again, the water won't come to me. I got to go to the water. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That makes salvation available. That means I can be saved, not that I am saved. He said, folks, you received the gospel and you're saved. The gospel doesn't save anybody or anything without being believed and received. Let me read some red letters in your Bible from Luke 24. Jesus said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye, this is not a suggestion, this is a commandment, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said, this is what it's all about, fellas. It's about repentance, remission of sins, and the promise. Hey, man, this is how Mark recorded it. In Mark 16, beginning in verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Why? Because faith initiates obedience. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. In my name they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Name and spirit.
Jesus said in Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. This is Acts 2. And man, it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. 10 verses later, Peter stands up with the 11 and lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. 18 verses later, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's Jehovah and Messiah. Jesus Christ is not Jehovah Jr. He's not the second person in the fictitious Trinity. There is no Trinity for him to be the second person of. The Trinitarian doctrine is false doctrine. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000. Name, spirit, gospel, salvation. It's not coincidence. I can't be saved outside of the gospel. I can be religious outside of the gospel. I can't be saved outside of the name and the spirit. Paul declared, amen, they that have not the spirit of Christ are none of his.
And every time in this Bible somebody received the Spirit of Christ, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Every single time. Every time anybody in this Bible was baptized, they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. John baptized into repentance. Amen. Saying, there's one coming after me that's mightier than I. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. Acts chapter 2 changed everything because it ended the law and started the church. Amen. And we're saved by grace through faith. Stand with me, please. Brother Michael, when you're baptized momentarily in the name of Jesus Christ, that word baptized means to be immersed in water. Sprinkling doesn't wash away sins. The epistle declares about the flood and Noah and the ark, and he said, whereunto it's a light figure, that baptism doth now save us. You can't be saved without baptism in Jesus' name. You say, I was baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There's no salvation in the titles. There's no authority in a title. I mean, I'm a lot of things, and so are the rest of the men in this church. We have a lot of titles, a lot of responsibilities. But the fact that he's a father, his authority as a father cannot evoke my authority as a father. My authority is invoked through my identity. He's father in creation. He's son in redemption. He's Holy Ghost in salvation. But that's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not the only three things that God ever did. Those are the three most important things. But he's a lot of things. Counselor. Healer. Savior. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. But the instructions of Matthew 28 is to baptize in the name. And Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. It's a title. It's a designation. It's a job description. It's a role that God fulfilled. But you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Michael, son, you're going to never be the same again. You'll never be the same because of the name. And the Spirit. Ikato ishata makata. Ile borabushata bakata muhushandai. I feel the power of the name and the influence of the Spirit in this place right now. Let's lift our voices right now. Somebody feel after the touch of God in this house. Hallelujah. He still saves. He still helps. He still delivers. He still forgives. Hallelujah. Repentance is still a part of the gospel. Baptism in Jesus' name is still a part of the gospel. The infilling of the Holy Ghost is still a part of the gospel. Amen. The song says, I've already been to the water. I've already been baptized. I've already been converted, and I feel all right. I'm washed. Hey, I'm sanctified. I'm justified in the name of the Lord and by the Spirit. God wants to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost in this service. God wants to forgive somebody's sins. Come on, if you'll come, amen, to this altar area and sincerely cry out to God. If you'll open up your heart and lift your voice, lift up your hands to heaven and say, here it is, God. Here's all of me. God, here's my faults and my failures. Here's my fears. Here's my problems. Here's my shortcomings, my downfallings. Here's all that's wrong with me. Here's all the mistakes I've made. Here's everything I've ever done. God, I want to live right. God, I'm on my way to hell. God, I haven't obeyed the gospel. I've not repented of my sins. I've not been baptized in Jesus' name. I've not received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I can't go to heaven without the gospel. I've got to receive and obey the gospel if I want to be saved.